What does a pharmacist do? Well, most people might answer that a pharmacist dispenses the medications that my doctor prescribes. Now, I work with a ton of great pharmacists, and one thing that I don't generally see is excitement about pills in a vial. And this is probably because pharmacists have been trained to do so much more. So what can you get excited about in your community? To find out, let's go beyond the scripts. Hey, welcome back to Beyond the Scripts. I'm your host, Will Tuft with Pioneer RX. And this week, we have a very special guest. I love being able to talk with people in the industry and find out what they're passionate about. And so many of those people, it's such a long journey that I've watched for years and years. And sometimes we get to talk to relative newcomers who are making big, big changes. And I love that idea that no matter how long you've been in the industry, no matter where you're at, you can always find a way to make a big splash. So welcome, Kevin Duane from Panama Pharmacy.
Right on. Thanks, Will. Hey.
Hey, man. So yeah, definitely a kind of a newcomer in the industry. Not totally new, but relatively, I guess. So tell me a little bit about your journey. I know you've only been in the independent ownership space for a handful of years. So tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, sure. So, you know, it's funny. I graduated from the University of Florida in 2013. Go Gators. And it's funny because I take students now and precept them. And I feel so bad because I'm like, oh, well, you know, when I was in school and I started to say all this stuff that, you know, makes me sound like I went to school like a million years ago. But no, it's been, I just had 10-year reunion with some of the classmates up here. And so, yeah, when I first started in pharmacy, I started at chain pharmacy. Independent pharmacy really wasn't on the map for me. And one of the reasons why I think it's so important to precept students is because I was precepted at a site, at this site, at Panama Pharmacy, and that's where I first got exposure to independent community pharmacy, and I thought it was really cool, and I kept in touch with the preceptor that had offered that advanced community pharmacy practice experience, and a few years later, he reached back out to me, and he had had some staffing changes, and, you know, he had asked, hey, would you think about coming on as a staff pharmacist? And at the time I was working in a chain pharmacy and I worked there for a few years and it was going relatively well and I had been promoted and, you know, I was making good money and my wife, who was also a pharmacist, you know, we didn't have any kids or anything. So I thought, well, this is kind of interesting. And I liked it when I did my rotation there and it seemed like a pretty cool thing. And the thing that really stuck out to me about it was that you really got to do things for your patients that otherwise you wouldn't be able to do at like a chain pharmacy or something like that. So, you know, I said, well, why don't we try that? And led me down the path to where I am today.
Nice. So kind of walk me through that a little bit. You did you just leave directly from the chain and go over all at once? Or did you start in kind of one foot in, weekending, or how'd that work out?
Yeah. So it was funny because it was around the holidays. It was like between Thanksgiving and Christmas that I started talking to him about it. And, you know, we had dinner one night or lunch. And I said, you know, what do you need? When do you need it? That kind of thing. He was like, well, if you could start like January 1st, that would be good. Like, okay, full time in a month, that's kind of, you know, so my wife and I, we talked about it and, you know, did some praying on it. And, you know, we ended up at a spot where we were young. We were at a point in our lives where we felt like we had the ability to kind of roll the dice and take a chance on something. And my wife is very supportive of me and of our family. And, you know, she said, is this something that you really believe in? Is this something that you really think that, you know, you can do and do really great? I said, yeah, you know, I really think this would be something that would be good, not just for us, but, you know, for the community. I was born in Jacksonville. We were both born and raised in Jacksonville. So, you know, being able to focus on an independent community pharmacy that serves the same community that, you know, we were born and raised in is was really special to us. So we just kind of said, all right, let's do it. And then, you know, it took a lot to learn about what's involved in that, you know, like what's, mm-hmm. you know, because when we left, or when I left, you know, I was the one who had the health benefits and insurance and, you know, paid time. And so it's like, what does all that look like? And, you know, what's going to be different? But at the end of the day, it was like, I was okay with sacrificing, you know, money or you know, benefits that like a chain pharmacy would offer for the opportunity for the potential to have something, you know, bigger than probably what you'd be able to achieve. So, you know, went out and did that and started in, you know, like January. I think New Year's Day was like a Saturday or a Sunday that year. So I ended up starting like the second. That was that Monday. So the first day in independent pharmacy, you know, having not known you know, the computer system or anything like that, was the first day of the new year with like new insurance cards and all that stuff.
So, yeah, always hectic anyways.
Yeah. In retrospect, I probably would have waited a few more weeks, but no, it was good. And it really led to, you know, obviously where I am today.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I mean, it's kind of like having kids or getting married or, you know, so many of those big life-changing decisions. You can always say, I'm going to do that once, this and this and this. And there's never really a perfect scenario. You know, there's always going to be challenges there. You've just got to take the plunge sometimes.
That's exactly how we saw it. You know, it was just if we're able to and if it makes sense and if it's something that really strikes a deep interest, then it's like, you know, don't pass it up, because you never really know when something like that would or if, you know, presents itself again. And so more fun than that was, you know, within the first, like, I would say 1 or 2 months of me working there as a staff pharmacist. And the owner is a great guy that I still keep in contact with to this day. And I would say it was the first month or two, you know, we had like another kind of, you know, sit down talk kind of thing. And, you know, I'm doing okay. And I'm thinking it's kind of like, you know, checking in, telling me like, hey, you're doing a decent job. Here's what you need to do better, that kind of stuff. But he was like really looking to sell. So I was kind of wondering if like you'd be a person that would be interested in buying the pharmacy. So then I'm like, oh man, because in my mind, like my head is still swimming with like the differences between chain pharmacy. There's so many things that you don't even need to worry about. You know, you talk about, you know, I came on in 2015. So even like DIR fees were there in pharmacy and independent community pharmacy, but they weren't nearly as big as they are right now. But like, you know, I had no concept of anything like that in a chain pharmacy. Things like, you know, claims that were negatively reimbursed or profit, you know, lost profit and stuff like that. Just no concept of it at all. So I'm trying to drink from a fire hose, figuring out, you know, all of this stuff to make sure that I do the best job that I can. And then it's like, well, now you've got to consider ownership. And it's like, you know, okay, so what are we talking here? Are we talking like, you know, a 5-year plan or something? You know, and he's like, I'd really like to be out like this time next year. And
February 2nd.
So obviously that presented a whole nother set of challenges, and being relatively young and having graduated, you know, at that time I was out of school for 2 years, and not even 2 years really when we started having these conversations. I didn't really know anybody that owned or had a managing interest in an independent community pharmacy. So I was really flying blind. I mean, obviously, you know, I had a great owner and he really helped me along the way and really explained and understood a lot of the nuance that comes into not just the day-to-day operations of a pharmacy, but, you know, customer service and how to make sure that you retain customers, how to liaise with doctors, other providers in the area, hospitals to garner their business and earn the right to take care of their patients too. But I didn't really have anybody else. I didn't have anything like a sounding board. So for me, it was a lot of you know, NCPA was really good. They have their ownership workshops that I went to and met owners and things like that. But I'll tell you, it was a little, it was definitely a little intimidating from the fact that there weren't many owners that I knew or that I connected with that were, you know, at that time I was 29. So, I mean, you know, it was definitely scary, but, you know, it was still the best decision ever made. And I, you know, come to work every day and really love what I do. So, very fortunate.
Yeah. So do you think that was the previous owner's plan all along to ease you in and hand you the keys?
Yeah,
it was that slow burn.
Yeah, I was, you know, Bill, was this always the plan? And you know, but I think that it's funny because in pharmacy school, it's like very cliche. Like they always tell you, like, oh, pharmacy's a small world. And I mean, like I always heard people say that, and I heard professors and stuff, you know, say that. And I never necessarily took it all the way to heart. I mean, it's funny. Him and I connected because we both went to the University of Florida, so we were both very interested in Gator athletics and the football team and stuff like that. So a lot of the conversations that I had with him actually had nothing to do with work at all until, you know, he lost his staff pharmacist and needed a new one. And that's where I think, you know, but just keeping in the top of my mind and keeping him in the top of my mind and be in the top of his mind, I think, you know, helped facilitate that kind of natural progression. And so I think that I think maybe he would always I think he would tell you that maybe he was always, you know, planning eventually for an exit strategy. But I think that I think the way that it was done was probably the best way that I could do it, the best way that if I were in his shoes, I would have done it, because I think that you have this, you know, you have this pharmacy, you know, he had been living it, working it, you know, for decades. And so he wanted to make sure that it was not going to be another casualty of, you know, the big PBM machine and just have it sold to a chain pharmacy that would just kind of, you know, not be able to take care of the customers like he knows an independent community pharmacy would be able to. But more so also to be able to trust that the next person that is going to carry the torch will have the, you know, the heart and the stamina, I guess, to really take it, you know, another, you know, decade upon decade upon decade to really make sure that the legacy is preserved and that the community is well taken care of. So I think so. I think probably, you know, it was all a part of the plan, but I think that in my mind, the plan came together really well. And I'm sure he would say that too.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, Panama Pharmacy has been there since what, 1928. So yeah, I can imagine there's like a little bit of pressure, you know, outside of just from a strictly business standpoint, but just kind of that legacy and that you know, pillar of the community that you want to make sure has that same spirit moving forward for another 100 years.
So it's neat because I meet people. I mean, like I said, you know, I was born and raised in Jacksonville as well, and my parents have been living here most their entire lives, and even their parents for a great part of their lives. So I meet people that, you know, just like wearing my shirt with the logo on it, who, you know, they'll stop me in the grocery store or something like that and be like, oh yeah, Panama Pharmacy. I knew that my grandma used to take me in there. You know, it had a soda fountain that they took out, I guess, like just after the Second World War. But for like 20 or 30 years, they had a soda, and everybody remember the soda fountain. And it's just so like quintessential community pharmacy. And it's just so cool. I still meet people. I had someone earlier this year, this past winter, bring in some really neat newspaper clippings that they had saved from the newspaper here from like 1941 or something like that. And it was about a string of pharmacy robberies that had occurred, and it had pictures of the old Panama Pharmacy. We're actually on the same street corner. We moved across the way, like directly across the street, about 15 years ago. But before that, it was just on the other side of Main Street, And that's where it was, you know, since the 20s. And it's cool because they had this newspaper clipping and it had all of the mug shots of the people that were caught. It had this really cool story. And it's kind of funny because I guess some of the police officers were like, it was like an inside job and some of them were in on it too. But the lady had saved it and she had brought it to us and it was all laminated and nice. And she was like, you know, I drive by this place all the time. And I guess her granddad had collected a lot of old newspapers. And she's like, I cut this out and I had this for you and brought it. And I said, you know, that's really cool. And that's something that you're not going to get at like a chain pharmacy. So, I mean, just little things like that. And I think that the position that independent community pharmacy has still in its community is something that, you know, should not be overlooked and definitely is not taken for granted.
Yeah. I mean, there's so much emphasis on, you know, marketing and positioning yourself within a market and how your brand is perceived and to have that authenticity that comes with, you know, those deep roots in the community. That's something pretty cool to just kind of walk into and have and be a part of that you can't really cultivate on your own. It's kind of like being part of that bigger picture. It sounds really fun.
And it's like, so it's very humbling to me too, because I try to, you know, I tell myself like, you don't want that imposter syndrome. Like you woke up on third thinking that you hit a triple, you know, but like at the same time, it's like, it's a very weighty thing for me. Like it's very substantial that it's like, okay, you know, this was built and it's your job to, you know, keep it on the tracks, to keep it going in the right direction, but also, you know, to make sure that, you know, that maybe there's new destinations or new stops along the way. So it's like, you know, at one point, you're not looking to radically change the way that the community has been taken care of for all of these years. But, and I think as a younger owner, especially, my hunger was to kind of, augment, you know, build onto what was already working and introduce, you know, new concepts and I don't want to say better or different because that means that it wasn't being done the right way, which is not what I mean, but that it can be, you know, just more improved or more, you know, full encompassing services that we can offer to the community. So I think that's what we do a lot of now. And I think that's what I really pride myself on.
Yeah, that evolution is so important. And we'll talk more about the some of the steps that you've made recently, but definitely you've made some big steps to make sure that not only that pharmacy, but independent pharmacy is around to continue that legacy. So before we jump into that, I definitely want to talk a little bit about some of the services that you offer at Panama Pharmacy. What makes you guys different? Are there particular programs or enhanced services that you're really excited about, passionate about, and how did some of those come to be?
Yeah, it depends on how much time we have here, because man, I can talk a lot of them. But I'll tell you, I mean, I'm passionate about a lot. I think that some of the guys that work with me, they start, you know, they joke that it's like I'm an evangelist, because when I find something that I'm really, really passionate about, that I really, really believe in, it's like I don't shut up about it sometimes, you know, like I just got to tell everybody about it and about how great it is and stuff like that. So I know that's a double-edged sword with them. Sometimes they probably heard me extol the virtues of certain things that we do here a lot. But, you know, man, I'll tell you, when I first inherited the store in 2015, you know, after the ink was dry and the money changed hands and all that stuff, I knew we got to do a sync program, because we were at a very healthy volume for an independent community pharmacy. But there wasn't any kind of sync program. And for me, you know, I had already known from school the benefits of medication adherence and the benefits of medication alignment. But I was just thinking, man, a sync program would really help me from tearing out what little of my hair I had left and all these late days that I had, you know, making sure that all the scripts were filled. So that was definitely one of the first things. And it's funny now, because I think that when you look at the like NCPA's digest and they look at the percentages of people that like run a sync program, it's very substantial. The vast majority of independent community pharmacies run a sync program. But I think that, you know, even it wasn't that long ago, but about 8 years ago when I took over, you know, there weren't that many people. I mean, there were some, but there weren't that many. And especially at a store that was a higher volume store, to be able to implement a sync program, that was definitely one of our biggest lifts. But I think that it's one of the ones that's paid the most in dividends, not just in overall community health, because people are getting their medicines on time and they're getting their medicines, you know, at the same time and on a schedule that they can plan for it. Especially, you know, Panama Pharmacy is a lower socioeconomic area, and being able to just little things that maybe some people take for granted, like budgeting for your medicine and knowing what your copays will be because they're the same every month and they're at the same time of the month every month. I think that gives people a lot of peace of mind and it helps them with their own, you know, kitchen table issues. But for us, just from an operational standpoint, the ability to put a sync program in to use a platform, and we went through, you know, several sync technology offer. I think we went through the one that we use now, Pioneer RX, is our third, you know, sync technology offering that we went through. And it took time for me to find one that I knew would work well operationally, but also allowed me to have some peace of mind that it would work kind of hands off, so that I didn't have to run the whole program and that other people and the ancillary staff could also buy into it and use it well. And so I think that was one of the first things that I had to do to make sure that patients were taken care of, and that operationally we were able to better plan cash flow. You know, I mean, I bought the store, you know, with a very small down payment and an SBA loan. So for me, I'm constantly aware of our exact cash flow, you know, what we're doing, making sure that we're spending money wisely and making sure that, we have money to be sustainable and that, you know, payroll is going to be able to be met. And early on, those were very, very, I mean, they still are big concerns, but I mean, you know, early on, those were very, very, very big concerns of mine. And I mean, of course, you know, I was newly married. We've been married for only a few years at the time. And I mean, you know, I had to make sure that I was doing right by my employees and my family and, you know, the business that I had taken on. So the sync program was absolutely an important part of that.
Yeah. I mean, that's so critical just to be able to have that predictability in your workflow. I'm always surprised whenever I hear somebody outside of the industry that listens to this podcast that brings up some of these conversations. And so if you're not familiar with MedSync, that's just making sure all that patient's medications are together and ready at the same time every month. But for so many different reasons, for obviously making sure the patient's taking those medications, but then operationally, you're able to plan your inventory needs, you're able to plan your patient's budget, make sure that you're getting those available dollars when, you know, at the beginning of the month. There's so many benefits to that, but also managing that workflow so that you can offer all of those other exciting things that you want to do, but you don't have time to do because you're answering the phone and picking up ones and twos, fills, heres, and there, instead of, you know, methodically moving that predictable workflow through your pharmacy. So it's something we hear over and over that, you know, MedSync is a game changer. It's super important. But if you're not currently doing MedSync, it is a challenge to change. I would argue that challenge to change is probably no heavier than the burden of, you know, worrying about all of those other issues that come with a disorganized workflow.
Yeah. And I think that that was our first real, or my first real kind of experience with the ability to leverage technology from a standpoint of freeing yourself up for that practicing at the top of your license, you know, making sure that you're able to do what you really went to school for, what is so important to your community. And that became a theme for us. You know, when I worked at a chain pharmacy, anytime we got a piece of technology or new equipment or something like that, it was specifically to cut labor hours. It was to make sure that they didn't have to spend as much money, you know, and if they bought a robot script filling system or a pill counter or something like that, it was specifically so that we could shave the amount of bodies that we had in the pharmacy. And so I was, you know, adamant not to repeat that kind of philosophy, but I did appreciate the ability of technology to augment your existing workflow and to free you up, like I said, to do the other, you know, tasks that are not so mundane and repetitive. So, you know, we invested in over time, not right away, but, you know, we invested in not just a script filling robot, but adherence packaging is a big deal for us. And that continues to be a big deal for us. So we got into strip packaging and saw it not just as a value add, but as something that, again, can augment your adherence metrics. And as things move to a more value-based payment structure, and as providers in our city are moving more towards full risk modeling and enhanced risk and value-based care in their practices, that the ability to offer that locally as like a same day type service really helped to set us apart for our services compared to, you know, a typical chain pharmacy or even other independent community pharmacies that weren't able to offer those things. So that was really big for us. It also opened the door for us to participate in some other settings of care that we hadn't before. So that really, being able to push that out, invited us into not just more the long-term care space, although we have had really good success in the long-term care space with adherence packaging. But it opened us up to something that I thought was just very interesting and something that we have done a lot of work in, which is drug and alcohol rehab facilities.
And, oh, wow.
Yeah, and we have several relationships with drug and alcohol rehab facilities in our area. And the ability to offer adherence and compliance packaging is something that has really set us apart, and it has really given them and their staff peace of mind that they're able to better take care of their inpatients with that. And, you know, that was something that I had very, very limited experience with before. But even when we first got into it in, you know, 2015, 2016, there was a lot of talk about the opioid crisis and what healthcare had done to prevent the opioid crisis, but also what healthcare had done to worsen the opioid crisis. So for us, being able to connect with behavioral medicine physicians and inpatient drug and alcohol rehab facilities, and the ability to, I mean, man, there's so much going on with a patient who checks in for help. You know, I tell my staff, like, by the time that patient has gotten to the point where we're filling their medications, they have had so much happen to them that we can't possibly know. Maybe they've been arrested. Maybe they have had a loved one overdose. Something has happened in their life to say, today rather than any other day is the day that I've decided to seek help. So just the fact that we can do something that we really see as nothing major, you know, packaging their meds in a compliance pack so that that's one less thing that they have to worry about, that frees them up to do what they need to do to really take care of their whole self. And so that work has been some of the most rewarding work I think anyone here at our pharmacy has done. And yeah, just, you know, even though it seems like something small to us, you know, being able to take care of their meds, take that part off their plate, the facility doesn't have to worry about it. They can, you know, focus more on their behavioral health, their group therapy, their, you know, 12 steps, whatever it is, is just one more thing that we can do to affect change in their lives beyond just the actual, you know, putting the pills from a big bottle into a little bottle. And so it's something that has been just really, really great for us. And again, you know, you do right by the patient, but it also offers you a competitive advantage and a really unique twist on your pharmacy services that really, you know, lets you be known in the community for more than just what a typical chain or big box pharmacy does.
Yeah. So independent pharmacies definitely historically have a trend of, you know, not sharing their story, you know, on a big enough stage and not getting out there. So how'd you make that new connection? Because that's a, you know, kind of a niche that maybe, you know, had to be fostered. A lot of times that doesn't just happen organically. So was that something you reached out to, or did they find your services?
Yeah. So, and it's hard because when you go to pharmacy school, I mean, you don't learn how necessarily to deeply integrate with the rest of the players in like the medical home. So it's sometimes difficult to figure out, you know, A, what the needs are of a particular segment of your industry, but then also how to, you know, effectively message yourself and get yourself out there in order to be the right solution at the right time for the person who's looking for it, right? And that was hard for me because it does not come naturally at all. Like I'm more of a STEM kind of guy. I'm not really, you know, much of like a relationship, like warm and fuzzy empath, like perceive what that person's looking to get out
of. I don't know. You seem pretty warm.
No, it's definitely something that I have had to develop. So I think just kind of listening, I think that I have learned more by just shutting up and using my eyeballs and my ears than I have from just trying to anticipate somebody else's needs or trying to tell them this is what you need, but just kind of saying, you know, what's working for you. I think that's one of the easiest things that I can that I can do for someone. Like if I meet a new office or a new practice, is just like, you know, what's going well for you and what's not going well for you when it comes to pharmacy, and then try to see what solutions I know we can do a bang up job at that maybe they don't know that we can offer. So just being able to say, you know, hey, I see that you're doing this right now. What do you think about this? And then I show them a solution, you know, whether it's strip packaging or something like that, that they maybe are not aware of, that's offered locally or same day or something like that, that they can say, oh, well, wow, okay, this makes a lot of sense to us in our practice. So then it becomes like almost a no-brainer for them. They're like, oh, okay, how did we live without this before? How did we, you know, overlook this? And it's like, well, you know, maybe it's just because you didn't know that it was an option, or maybe it's not something that, you know, just was top of your mind. Because again, you know, medication, no matter what segment of the industry we're talking about, is still only a small sliver of everything else that that doctor or that practice or that facility may do. So while it's a big deal to us because we eat, sleep, live, you know, every day, it's not always something that's top of mind for them. So just being able to listen, observe, identify, and then mold your approach to that, I think is what we have had the most success with and what really allows us to be kind of a jack of all trades.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and pharmacy services can move the needle on so many of the prescriber metrics that they're battling with that in ways that maybe they don't even think of until you're able to have that conversation and just kind of listen to those pain points and see how you can help.
And it's just all integrative too, because I think that, you know, just to my point earlier about leveraging technology, like we leverage our technology not to eliminate staff, but to augment staff. So it we only have a finite amount of time. Like I was just telling one of the students that I'm precepting that today, like we only have a finite amount of time. And if you're going to fill 500 prescriptions today, you can't possibly give a really A+ intervention on all 500 of those every single day. You burn yourself out. You'd be out. But the ability to leverage technology to identify exactly where you're needed the most at that particular time. So you're not talking about getting rid of staff. You're not talking about replacing staff. You're talking about freeing up yourself and your staff from the more mundane, the more repetitive type tasks, and then using the time that you earn back from those tasks to really position yourself to be an agent of improvement, an agent of change, and, you know, an ability to really push forward with those interventions that you know are going to be super helpful to your patient base. Like, that's what it's all about, you know?
Yeah. So where do you make that happen? Is it, you know, going through the sync process, you're cutting down on touch points, but you're building more meaningful touch points. Or so is it during that MedSync call? Is it at pickup? You know, are you leveraging that appointment based model for immunizations, or how are you practically making that work on a patient basis?
Sure. So I mean, I'll go back to med synchronization again. Yes, the appointment based model is absolutely what we try to emulate. Our location, one of our locations, the our larger volume location, is co-located with a primary care office, and they see, you know, plenty of patients. They have a physician, multiple nurse practitioner, multiple physician extenders. So the appointment-based model is so crucial to us because we know that if they're being seen for primary care, that's when they're also going to have their pharmacy interventions. So people, you know, are happy to come back to us. That doesn't mean we're perfect and that they don't have to make multiple trips, but it's so much easier for the patient if they can have their pharmacy interventions and their medicine interventions all at the same time. So the appointment-based model is so crucial for us. We try to wrap our service offerings directly around when we know they'll already be seeing their doctor that day. And at that time, we're heavy on the technology, not just from, like I said, the MedSync setup standpoint on our end, but we leverage, you know, the app in order to send secure messages to them, or, you know, texting and calling out with IVR phone calls just to make sure that we have all of our bases covered and that patients are aware of what we're looking at so that we're not surprised by anything that's happened to them in the interim and that they're not surprised by anything that is different with their pharmacy profile on our end in the interim when we see them. And then at that time, we can address, you know, things like vaccinations, things like, you know, outcomes, MTMs, or adherence metrics, other, you know, optimization of their therapy, making sure that they're on the right drugs, looking at, you know, our staff is really good about identifying opportunities for copay assistance from manufacturers and leveraging, you know, anything that's out there to make medicines as affordable as possible for our patients. And then, you know, even little things like if their copay is the same for 3 months compared to 1 month, being proactive about reaching out to their doctor and making sure that, you know, we get a prescription that allows them to maximize their out-of-pocket spend versus what they're able to get from us from the pharmacy standpoint. And then again, just not just at the MedSync call and appointment, but just, you know, we use the technology even at pickup to make sure, you know, that we have care actions or that we have, you know, pop-ups or small notes. Sometimes it's a post-it note in the bag. Sometimes it's a pop-up just to say, you know, hey, Mrs. Jones is due for this vaccine, or talk to Mr. Jones about Medicare enrollment coming up, or whether it's an automated text or a phone call out for, hey, it's your birthday, happy birthday, come on in for a free, you know, over-the-counter gift, or again, a text message for a plan that maybe we're not in network with next year, something like that, helping them be more proactive about their relationship with us and their ability to continue to see us. So, but even just, you know, the automated pill counters and the script filling robots, just to say, if the technicians don't have to spend as much time on that, then they can spend more time. Maybe it's a back office function like inventory management, you know, out of stock, expired drug returns, overstock stuff, or writing thank you cards to patient. Hey, just want to tell you how appreciative we are that you trust us with your healthcare. We know that, you know, you probably pass 50 pharmacies on the way to come see us, but we like that you come and make sure that you still make it a point to come and see us. So yeah, those are the ways that we leverage that and make sure that we're able to effectively connect with patients in different ways. You got to meet them where they are. Like, you know, it's not a one size fits all approach. Just because a push notification or text message works for one patient, like, that doesn't mean it's going to work for everybody. So again, freeing up our staff to not have to deal with some of the more mundane or repetitive tasks allows them to better tailor their approach for every patient so that you're not a one size fits all big box chain pharmacy kind of approach. You can really customize and make sure that you're hitting people exactly where they need to be hit. And that's what's been most effective for us in retaining and in garnering the favor of trust in new business as people come and find us and hear about us.
Yeah. So you said something and you just glazed over it like it was just a nothing thing that is an afterthought now because it's just the way you do things. But, you know, I feel like there's oftentimes a reluctancy for any kind of change. And when it's time to, you know, move into a more clinical space, that itself comes with a, you know, kind of a mental roadblock when all pharmacists are clinical. But as simple as, you know, that leveraging your software to provide that alert, hey, you meet these metrics for Shingrix, and just asking the patient a simple question, but making sure that you're taking advantage of those opportunities, and all of a sudden, you know, that couple of words that you intentionally deliver at a point of sale transaction can really change that patient's relationship with the pharmacy, and definitely, you know, and increase your pharmacy sales and all the business side as well. But, you know, that can really, nobody wants Shingrix, right? Or nobody wants shingles. So making sure that you're, you know, getting those immunizations when they're available is such a service, because that's probably not something most patients are thinking about on their drive home from work.
Exactly. And I think that the technology standpoint just helps us to be accountable. Like, our patients demand that they are taken care of at the highest level. That's what everyone should deserve. But we're all human. So, I mean, I'm jazzed up about it right now. And I'm, you know, you have those days where you feel like you could run through a wall, and everybody's going to get every intervention all the time, no matter what. And that's a lot different from a random Thursday when you forgot your lunch on the kitchen counter at home, and you know, you got to work, and then, you know, you stepped in a puddle on your way. Like, there are things that just impede our ability to always be 100% at all times. But if technology can leverage, you know, its ability to be 100% all the time in those interventions, it kind of keeps you honest. It keeps you exactly where you need to be at all times, and it puts you into that routine, like into that habitus where you're not at the mercy of, you know, what's going on with your staff for one day versus another, or if it's Friday and you're looking forward to a 3-day weekend. You get the same high level of intervention and care every time, because your technology allows you to do so. So, I mean, I that was very important for me taking over the pharmacy, was to make sure that I was able to leverage whatever I could tech-wise, so that I had free time to not just figure out how to do the back office stuff, how to make sure the bills get paid, how to make sure that the money's, you know, in the bank account before all the payroll has to be done, but to make sure that everyone's getting taken care of all the time, because it takes more than just one person. So, like, I have my idea of how it needs to be done, and I have my idea of what it should look like, but being able to cookie cutter that and duplicate it and replicate it every minute of every day, whether or not I'm here or he's here or she's here, that you can get that same consistent service at all times. Like, you wouldn't be able to do that without technology. And so that's why it's very, very important to us.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Beyond the Scripts, presented by the Catalyst Pharmacy Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please support our channel by liking, subscribing, and clicking the notification bell so that you'll be notified anytime we post new content. To stay up to date with all of the latest independent pharmacy news and content, follow Pioneer RX on your preferred social media platform.